In a world where machine learning makes decisions about your privacy settings on your device, users are going to need some sort of feedback because the ML is likely not going to be 100% accurate, so they need some sort of UI where they could correct those decisions. That's the premise for this work. And so I'm going to go into why we think that that's a likely scenario, and then I'm going to talk about the solution that we came up with, which we call Turtle Guard. It's a UI which runs on Android, which allows users to visualize what privacy decisions have been made for them and also allows them to alter those decisions. So this actually is the culmination of a long line of work that my group's been doing on Android. It all started about 5 years ago. We presented this work at this very conference where we evaluated whether users understood or even noticed the permission dialogues on Android at the time. So this message in orange was shown whenever you install an application, and that's the only time users would see this. So we performed an online study with 300 Android users. It was a quantitative survey, and basically what we found was people had no idea what any of this meant. We followed that up with a laboratory study, and we came up with a bunch of conclusions for how these things could be better redesigned. So one of the findings was that many people were simply habituated. If you show these every single time people install an application, they're just going to think that this is unnecessary information and learn to dismiss it. The other main problem we found was that many people were simply unaware that these even existed. These were shown after you click install on an application, and therefore people thought this was just sort of some terms of service which they had already been familiar with dismissing in the past. So after we published this work, both iOS and Android changed. So they now have these runtime dialogues known as ask on first use. So the first time an application requests a particular data type, the user is shown one of these dialogues. And then once they click allow, that application has access in perpetuity. Except if they go through several layers of settings menus, they can change some of those decisions. But in practice, it's unlikely that they will. The problem with this, though, is that this ignores context. So this is the same permission system that we currently have on mobile devices. The problem is you might get one of these dialogues under completely appropriate circumstances. So you might click a button to find stuff near you in an application, and the application will request location data, but now it has location data which it could be also using for behavioral advertising, which might be a use that you find objectionable. But you'll never see a dialogue for those subsequent requests because it doesn't account for context. So the next question we started to look at is, well, under what circumstances should these dialogues be shown? If we're not going to show these exactly once, we should show them more than once. Should we show them every time? Unlikely. So we performed a study with dynamic analysis. We modified the Android OS so that we could hook all of the APIs protected by permissions so that we could see in practice how often this data is exposed to users. So we had 36 smartphone users, and this resulted in about 27 million permission requests during the course of a week. So obviously that is completely impractical to have runtime requests every single time. That would have amounted to over 200 an hour. Basically, you would use your phone to dismiss permission requests. At the same time, in the follow-up, we found that most people wanted to block some of the requests, and on average, they wanted to block over a third of them. So this led to several other lessons. So one was visibility of the requesting application is an extremely strong contextual cue. So when people were using the application requesting the data, they were more likely to say that the request was appropriate versus when they weren't using the application or maybe not even using their phone when the data was requested, they tended to think that those were inappropriate requests. Obviously, what I just showed, the frequency with which this occurs, it's impractical to do it every time. So maybe we can extend ask on first use to account for some notion of context. And so we were, we've been working on now trying to implement Nissenbaum's theory of contextual integrity. And basically what this means is that privacy violations occur when norms are violated. And the way that norms are modeled is based on the data subject, so in this case, the phone user, the sender, which would be the application, the recipient, well, whoever's receiving the data, and then the information type. And then there are various constraints on this. So in the cases that I was showing, maybe one constraint is only allow data when the app is in use. So we've been doing some work to try and implement this. So what does this actually mean for user-centered design? Well, you know, at its most basic, what this means is don't bother the user about appropriate flows. So if the system decides that the user is likely to, you know, want to give the data to the application, don't ask them. Similarly, you know, if it's an unknown decision or, you know, something that's deemed inappropriate, those are the, you know, the only situations where we probably want to bring it to the user's attention. So, you know, how do we actually do this? So our most recent work prior to this is in basically developing ML to make these decisions. And so as a starting point, we were just modeling, you know, one feature of context, which is the visibility of the requesting application, and using that to differentiate between potentially expected versus unexpected flows. And what we found is we can actually do this pretty successfully. So with the ask on first use model, we found that in terms of matching to user privacy preferences, the error rate's about 15%. So 15% of the time an application allows access to data that the user would have preferred not to be released to that application. And during the course of our study, when we did this, that resulted in about 12 different prompts with the ask on first use prompts. So using our trained ML model, we can set the, you know, the training data to 12 prompts as well, and we get basically a fivefold reduction in error rate. So that shows that, you know, using ML for these permission decisions is feasible, but at the same time, you know, the classifier isn't perfect, and I don't think anyone's going to expect that it will be ever be perfect. And so the problem that, you know, we're solving in this work is trying to come up with an interface that users could then use to understand what decisions the ML has made for them, and then possibly correcting errors in case it's, you know, made incorrect decisions. So currently in Android, the most recent version, when you want to see what permissions an application has, you can open the settings panel, you can click apps, it shows you a list of apps, you pick the app that you want to look up. It then shows permissions, and here it has a grayed out. It says location, so the location it currently has access to. But actually, that's as a result of the application has requested a whole bunch more permissions. It just so happened that, you know, the user denied those, and so it only has access to location, but you can toggle these switches to revisit those changes. But that takes about, you know, four levels of menus to actually get to this interface to do that. And so the problem with this is there's not really a holistic view of what's happening on the phone, what apps have accessed data and when. You have to look at it on a per-app basis, and the permissions aren't really contextual. So when location data is allowed, for instance, it's allowed under all circumstances. And so we wanted to see whether we can come up with an interface that allows users to, you know, understand what decisions are being made as well as change those. So in prior work that we did, we found that fewer than a quarter of people understood that background applications have the same abilities as foreground applications. So we wanted to also make sure that our, you know, new dashboard interface would correct that mental model and also allow users to regulate applications based on foreground versus background, which is one contextual factor. So here was the first prototype of what we were calling Turtle Guard. You'll have to ask Lynn about the origins of the name. She is here. Anyway, so when you first open it, it lists activities, and this what this means is the most recently granted or denied permissions on the device, and it's sorted by time. You can then, if you click an application, it'll expand to show all of the permissions that that application has declared and whether or not they've been allowed or denied. You can sort by apps. And, you know, from in here, it's the same interface. If you click one of the permissions, you now have, instead of the binary decision, there's a ternary decision. So you can allow the permission always, only when the app's in use, or never. So we mocked this up in HTML5 using proto.io. So we basically made interactive, functioning prototypes that could be run in the web browser. And we created a control, which was a interactive version of the current Android M settings panel, which I just showed, as well as the experimental condition, which is our implementation of Turtle Guard. And another reason for being, you know, wanting to do this in the browser is we can then have a large online sample as opposed to having to do rapid prototyping on the actual devices and do iterative design by giving the phones out to people. So we wanted to do this first in the browser before going through all the hard work of doing a field study.
We had people use our simulation in the browser to perform several different tasks. The tasks were designed to both examine whether they could use this new interface to understand resource usage on the device, as well as fix any misaligned settings. So if the ML, for instance, decides to incorrectly grant or deny a permission, whether or not people would understand without any instruction from us how to use the interface to fix that, which ostensibly on a on a fully functioning prototype would then be used to retrain the ML. So the first task, there was an open-ended response. We just asked people, what are the two most recent apps that access the device's location? So in the control, what you would do is you go to settings here, and that opens up, and you need to understand that if you click location, it then shows a sorted list of apps that have most recently requested location. So the correct answer would have been browser and our fictitious Zombies versus Wookiees game. In the experimental condition, Turtle Guard, here in our pilot experiment, we had it labeled as a separate privacy manager app. Once you click that, you get the interface, and you can see that the most recently allowed location permission was browser and Zombies versus Wookiees again. So unfortunately, what we found was that the control actually did slightly better in this task. And when we looked at both the incorrect responses as well as some of the open-ended qualitative data, there was some confusion about this interface. So some people saw this denied location and wasn't sure what that meant. Some people didn't understand that this lists all permission types. And so we came up with some design changes based on that. A quarter of our participants never even opened Turtle Guard, so that led us to another design decision where we moved it into the settings panel. In the second task, we asked people which of the following data types could be accessed by Zombies versus Wookiees, and this was a multiple choice question. So here you would navigate those four levels of settings that I showed in Android M to find that it's calendar and contacts. In Turtle Guard, again, right when you open it up, if you, scroll down to the Zombies versus Wookiees app, you can then expand it and it'll show all the permissions. Here, the difference wasn't statistically significant, but we also discovered that there were several confounding factors. This was a pilot experiment. So one of the things that we corrected was in the, on the control, it shows this grayed out what permissions are actually allowed among the ones that were requested. Whereas in our mock-up, we just showed the total number of permissions requested, so that's one less thing that people had to click. And then tasks 3 and 4. So all the tasks were randomized except for these two. The first task was, could they understand that the app still would have access to location data when it's running in the background? And this was just a yes or no question. Did they believe it, yes, no, or I don't know? And then the follow-up to that was, okay, now, use the interface to prevent the app from accessing background data. And so it's obvious why we didn't change the order of these. So the issue here is, in the control condition, there's actually no way of regulating this. So in stock Android, basically it relies on users just happening to know that an application has the same foreground versus background capabilities, and we wanted to see whether our participants understood this. In terms of changing the settings to enforce only background or only foreground data usage, there's no actual way of doing it, but several participants in the controlled condition pointed out that they could click disable and disable an application so that it doesn't request anything in the background, and then they need to remember to re-enable it whenever they want to use it, or they could switch off permissions when not using it and having to go back. It's kind of complicated. Whereas most of the participants understood without instructions that they could click one of the permissions and now they can change this to when in use. And in fact, this is where our solution really shined. So the vast majority of our participants understood the background versus foreground capabilities when using Turtle Guard, but less than half of them understood this in the control. And more importantly, 3/4 of them were actually able to correctly use the interface. So, based on what we found with the first two tasks, we decided to change the design a little bit. So as I mentioned, we moved this into the settings panel. It now just says permission manager within settings when you first open it. And we separated it out, so it's now sorted by permission, and also separated between allowed and denied. So for instance here, you know, it says last allowed when the app was in use. There are others here, you know, the browser was last allowed when the app was not in use. They can then see a list of all of the apps installed, and in gray it shows only the permissions that are actually allowed. So we performed a validation study. We mocked this up again in proto.io, did it in the web browser. We had the same four tasks. This time we recruited another 300 participants from Mechanical Turk who hadn't previously participated, and we also wanted to experiment with a new sample, a new population. So we also recruited 300 from Prolific Academic. We found absolutely no difference between the two samples with regard to task performance and demographics, so we combined those two samples together for the analysis. And what we found was, you know, with our design changes now, you know, with the information-seeking behaviors, Turtle Guard was just as good as the control, which is pretty good considering that these were participants who had never seen the interface before, whereas they were also existing Android users and were already familiar with the, you know, settings, the settings panel. And our results held where, you know, the Turtle Guard interface allowed them to understand the difference between foreground and background data usage and correctly control it. And again, we found large effect sizes there. So the conclusion is, you know, with this work, we, you know, demonstrated how we could use iterative user-centered design to construct a better interface to manage app permissions. And without prior training, most of our participants were able to correctly use this to manage the permissions on the simulated devices. So where are we going from here? Well, we just... We've mocked this all up. We've actually implemented all of this in Android. We have a separate build of Android where this is functioning along with our ML. We've gutted the permission system on Android. And so we actually have ML that's, you know, making decisions about permissions. We have the UI. And so now we want to actually test this in a, you know, real field study. We've conducted a pilot with 20 participants so far, and you know, from those 20 participants, we found that our previous results about the accuracy of the ML has largely held, and we're planning to recruit an additional 40 participants, and you know, these are people who are using our instrumented study phones as their own for, you know, for a period of time, and we're observing what decision making the ML is making, and then whether they go back to the dashboard to, you know, change any of those decisions. And so far, you know, from the 20 participant pilot that we've already conducted this month, we found that almost everyone has explored the Turtle Guard interface and has been using it. And with that, I'll take questions.
Okay, do we have any questions on this? If you do, please come up to the mics. Yeah, Heather, if you could sit. I'll ask you a question.
Okay.
What do you think it would take for one of the major mobile platforms to deploy Turtle Guard? What additional problems would they have to solve?
Well, I think the big hurdle to getting this actually implemented in the major platform is the ML, not the UI component. So this was, you know, largely about evaluating the UI, which I think, you know, this could be used standalone without any of the, you know, ML in the background making permissions decisions. You know, I think that this is still usable as a solution for, you know, moderating the permissions on the phone, and I think switching to, you know, this, you know, the ternary decision of, you know, when in use or always or never, that's already, so iOS is doing that for location and location only right now, but, you know, it's conceivable that could be applied to all of the permissions and you could use this interface to manage that. I think the big sell is, you know, having ML make the privacy decisions in the background, which obviously there are probably some, you know, legal risks with that, but
so you're looking way into the future.
Yes.
Did we have a question over here?
In that case, I'm going to take you further into the future. Currently, the choices are always when in the app and never.
Yeah.
Correct. And one of the things about permission, you're saying that people forget that they gave permission. If looking at the option of saying you have permission once.
No, it's not that they forgot. It's that they grant permission under very specific circumstances.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then don't realize that that has an effect in across all circumstances in the future.
But the option of saying you have permission for an hour, you know,
Sure. I mean, so, you know, I talked about we're trying to look at this through the lens of contextual integrity, and, you know, the main limitation is the main contextual factor that we've been looking at is visibility of the requesting application. There are many possible contextual factors. You have to balance that concern, though. You know, sure, the greater the granularity that you offer users, you know, the more, you know, relevant those privacy, you know, the decisions that they make in that moment are. But you have to balance that with the usability. If you have, you know, all sorts of, you know, granularity about, you know, under what circumstances the app should have access to this data, that's going to really complicate the interface.
One of the things they do to kind of encourage you to do the screen lock is, you know, as you set up, they encourage you to send a passcode and then they automatically expire for you. In a similar thing, an automatic expiration of permissions could be set as a default. It says, you know, you said location. If you don't tell me one of your current choices, then it expires in an hour or 30 minutes.
Sure, that's, yeah, conceivable.
To, you know, address, you know, trying to keep track of all that granularity.